It is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman. Judy, of course, joins us every Thursday morning. She is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS, and Journal of a Duck Midwife. And we always welcome Judy on board. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, and maybe the snow is going to come, Jill and Marshall, but it's a gorgeous day here. Absolutely blue sky. Leaves are still on the trees, more or less. Most of them on the ground. And I keep thinking, oh, maybe winter won't come this year. Of course, it's my wishful thinking is not going to have any effect on the weather, but it helps.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, Jill, I want to talk to you today about a new to me eating disorder. I'm sure that some people probably are aware of it, and it's really very sort of strange. It's called orthorexia, and it means, according to the person who coined it, and I guess you can make up anything you want, if you think that somebody's going to accept your term, righteous eating. And it's not the kind of eating you might do if you are going on some kind of fast or, you know, a special diet in order to bring about, to engage in penance for something, atonement for something you've done, or maybe bring about some kind of potential positive event in your life. No, it's the kind of diet you go on if, frankly, you want to live forever. I mean, that's what's behind your mind, in your mind. And you think that if you eat right, because we're always being told, you know, eat healthy, don't have processed foods, don't have too much salt, don't have dairy, don't have carbohydrates, don't have, high fat. If you really eat right, well, maybe you won't live forever, but you'll certainly live maybe into the early hundreds. And if you deviate, well, you know, certainly, you know, a quick trip to the funeral home might be in order if you God forbid should have a donut. And anyway, I had heard about this, and I realized that the brother-in-law of a friend of mine fits this exactly. I mean, it was somebody I've known for many years, and over the period of about the last 10 years, he probably lost about 20 pounds. He was never that heavy to begin with, but he decided that if he, and he does this, cuts out all carbohydrates, including starchy vegetables. He cuts out all fat, except possibly, you know, a small amount of olive oil. He doesn't have any kind of dairy products. What he lives on is protein and some low-calorie vegetables, and that's about it. And he weighs himself obsessively every day to make sure that he's not gaining, you know, a half a gram or something. And he looks skeletal because he's lost so much weight. He actually is depressed most of the time, I believe, because he hasn't eaten carbohydrates for maybe 10 years, and he probably has very little serotonin left in his brain, because that's how you get serotonin made, by eating carbohydrates. And yet, you know, he feels that he is extremely healthy and will actually criticize other people who are eating normally. It's an obsession, and it really verges on a pathological way of eating. But I'm sure you've been in gatherings where people say, well, you know, I would never eat a carbohydrate. I mean, a baked potato will send me to an early grave. I never eat dairy. Oh, what dairy is going to cause my whole body to dissolve in a pool of mucus. Or, you know, I never have any kind of fat because, you know, that's certainly going to go right to my brain and cause me to have early Alzheimer's or something. But it's this linking of eating foods to an outcome that none of us really can predict. I mean, you can eat the healthiest diet that's possible, and you'll be hit by a motorcycle tomorrow, or something worse. But it's this superstitious belief that if I eat exactly as the experts tell me to, and of course any expert is available to tell you what you want to hear, that you will have an extremely healthy life. And I really fault the people who tell us that. You know, you're always reading, oh, eat fiber, you know, don't eat ice cream, you know, don't eat red meat, etc. Fine. But they preach it in such a way as you really get worried and anxious that if I do, something bad's going to happen.
And two things, since you brought them up. Thing one, about that fiber thing, do you realize that pretty much everything that has fiber, the fiber, think about rice.
Oh, that's yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, sure.
So, loud. A. And two, the red meat thing, there are, should be investigated by people with open and curious minds. Because, because, and that's all I'm going to say about that. The expert guidance, quote, quote, to do things a certain way, blindly followed, will put you in as much of an early grave as sitting there spooning Miracle Whip will.
Absolutely. And the point is, you know, these blanket recommendations to do this and not to do that do not take into account individual needs. For example, the wife of this particular person has advanced osteoporosis, and you know, she tries to get, and she's anemic for an underlying medical problem. So she was told, you know, to eat red meat because red meat is extremely high in iron. Well, her husband, you know, berated her for doing so because clearly that was not on his list of healthy foods, and berated her for having dairy products, which are the most natural source of calcium. But her needs and her body's needs were totally different than his needs. And you know, and I, there are people who have to gain weight. I mean, there are people who are recovering from, you know, certain chronic diseases that cause them to lose weight. And if you ask a doctor, what should I feed this person to gain weight? Oh, high fat, high sugar, because that's all that person will eat, and if the person doesn't eat, the person will die. Well, if you told an anorexic, that person with, what is it called, orthorexia, this person, well, that's terrible. You can't possibly put that in your body. But your personal needs have to come first.
And not only that,
a blanket.
Quite right. And not only that, you in the end have to know what your, and this is hard now because a lot of people just have gotten so far away. This train has long left the station of no. Get themselves back on course, back on track. They would do better to have a little talk with themselves rather than, you know, cruise the various studies again, because you can literally find an expert/study that supports everything, anything.
Absolutely. And I pray that there's nobody, and Marshall, you had talked about this last week, where do you go to get the advice to return to a commonsensical way of eating? I don't think it exists anymore.
No, you literally have to go to, hopefully there's still a gran or a great gran or someone around who's like, child, sit down, have a, you know, look, I never liked milk, so I can't finish that, but it's like, child, sit down, have some water. You know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
When you talk about this, you know, I think of numerous dinners at really lovely places that you'd actually want to eat the food with someone sitting there with a glass of water. Well, could I just have a slice of lemon in it? It's like, crying out loud, this is $120 a head, and you are ordering water with lemon in it. You know, it's a
pretty That's exactly right. Or a place that prides itself on homemade bread, and you say, oh, I wouldn't touch that. Well, why not? I mean, the point is, bread is something that is the
staff of life.
Have eaten ever since we were able to grow grain.
Right, exactly. So it's like that. You sort of have to wonder about the attention-getting aspect of it all when it's not a medical condition. If you are sitting at a place for, I'm going to stick with it, $120 a head, and you won't eat.
And I think the bottom line is, despite, Jill, any kind of restriction you put on yourself, you know, as Woody Allen said, nobody gets out of this world alive. And so it doesn't really matter if all your life you've cut out all the good foods that would have made you maybe a little happier. You're going to have the same result as the rest of us who might be actually having a piece of chocolate once in a while.
Not only that, but also a good time.
Exactly.
Thank you.
All right, on to next week.
Okay.
Bye-bye then.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman. Food for Mood. Is she losing her voice?
Yeah, she thought she heard something strange on the phone line, but obviously she didn't.
No.
Yeah. All right. You can hear Judy every Thursday morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. Also online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Judy Wortman.